Our Father, we are so thankful to you, so amazed by you,
yes.
So thankful for what you have opened our eyes to
yes.
see.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word you have given us over and over through our brother, the indispensable principle that the only way that we can see you in reality, the only way that we can see you in a way that changes our lives is if you will to bless us, if you are willing to open our eyes to see you. And so we ask you to do that. I pray that you override all my foolish words and that you communicate far more than what is said this morning. We ask for life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I listen to a lot of messages through podcast. Sometimes I watch them on TV. But I hear a lot. And a lot of what I hear is, it's good stuff. A lot of what I've been hearing lately has been, here's how to deal with your family. Here's taking a normal circumstance that everyone is familiar with. And here's a verse that matches that. And there's some benefit in that, but it's not Bible teaching. There's a vast difference between that and opening up the Word of God, reading a text, because that text is exactly what God intended you to hear from Him. It's not somebody's opinion, and you can make arguments, well, you know, the interpreter should have used this word instead of that word, and maybe this is, but God has protected so that the word that you have is His authoritative word. And when we start there and allow God to open that for us, that's real teaching. That's where truth is. Unfortunately, this morning won't be that. it will. What I want to talk about this morning is some of the principles of our faith. In other words, who are we? What are some of the things that mark a Christian? So this is not opening a text and going through that text. I will be using a lot of scripture verses. But so having said that, as I talk about the principles of our faith or some of the things that mark a Christian, this is not intended to be me handing you a measuring stick and you see how well you stand up. Am I a good Christian? Am I a bad Christian? I got a long way to go. Might as well quit. This isn't that at all. This is just kind of some observations of what does a Christian look like. Now, the short answer is a good Christian looks like Jesus. But there's, when you say that, inherent in that is how does one get there? Does one get there by trying really hard, working really good, applying discipline? Discipline is not absent from the process, but the way one gets there is the life of Christ coming out through that person. It's being rather than doing. Both end up looking like action, but it's from a different source. So, one of the first things that comes to mind is the word faith. And as I see a lot in this perspective, there's a part of me, and you'll have to forgive me, I guess the influence of the world and having sons that watch action hero figure movie stuff, there's this guy named Thor. And I guess his big trick is he takes his big hammer and slams the ground. That just changes everything, I guess. But if you watch that in the movies, when he just comes and he just slams that hammer down, boy, it just reverberates. There's a part of me when it comes to faith that is kind of like Thor slamming this to the ground. Faith. I'm talking about anchor. I'm talking about just, it is like one of the biggest things. Now, it's also extremely difficult to describe, and it cannot be defined. It also, I can't really say who owns it. I can say that as Christians, we are people of faith. Now, faith, I'm not talking about, Christian faith, Muslim faith. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. One of the descriptions that I love of faith is something I read from Stephen Kong years ago, where he describes it like a sense. In other words, you have five senses, and through vision you bring things that are outside the body through the sense of sight into the brain. So if I'm standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, if I'm blind, it's not of much value to me because I can't appreciate the beauty because I have no means to take in the vista through my eyes and go, wow, that's amazing. Similarly, if I were at a symphony orchestra and I have no hearing, they can be making the most beautiful sound on earth and everyone else's soul is raptured with that music and all I can do is sense the feeling of a beat, but I have no hearing. I have no way to bring that thing outside of me into me because there's no sense. So faith is similar in that it takes the unseen realm of the spirit realm. Faith is what brings it into the body. It's what appropriates what's outside to the inside. So that is a good description. We know that our relationship with God must start with faith. I've shared this testimony before. Years ago as a teenager, in thinking about the things of God, okay, so let's understand now, God knows everything. There's not anything that he doesn't know. God loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to get saved. But there are some people that have a hang-up. Like, I would believe in God, except, you know, why did he kill all the people in Canaan? That's my hang-up. Okay, so if he knows that and he wants them to get saved, why doesn't he just answer the question? Why doesn't he just go, let me tell you why? Oh, now I understand. I'd like to get saved, please. Well, it doesn't work that way. But the point that I came to back then was that God requires faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He requires a faith. He requires this little gap, part of the gap between us and him, to be bridged by faith. There's a part of us that has to say, despite what I'm seeing, I believe. We heard testimony of that this morning when Jay was sharing about his house that still hasn't sold. And his testimony was, I'm at peace. That's an example of faith. That's an example of seeing beyond the circumstances that are in our way and seeing to a God who is faithful, a God who has promised, a God who is supplying, and says what the world calls Hakuna Matata, means no worries. Faith looks through all this junk and goes, it's going to be all right. Our sister, I don't remember her name, but she played the song for us, it's going to be all right.
Broadway.
Yeah. And it is going to be all right. The creator of the universe has promised, you won't find this in King James, but he has promised, I got your back. So this is a hallmark of our faith. This is one of the things that is resounding in our lives is the fact that despite what, he is. I'm hearing this from my brother with what he's going through. Despite all of the stuff, he's rock solid. It's not Matthew. It's what God has revealed to him, and he is, through all this stuff, he's holding on. He's holding fast. This is a hallmark of who we are. We are a people of faith. I have no idea where I am in my notes. Hebrews 11:6, you'll see it on the screen in a moment. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's one of the points that I often share at the shelter in Salisbury, that if you want to have a relationship with him, you got to start with believing that he exists. If you don't believe he's there, you will not have a relationship with him. I also don't believe that you don't believe that he's there, but that's a different point. If we look at Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Initially, faith begins with the word of Christ. Someone has to tell you about Jesus. Later on, it becomes a revelation relationship with Jesus. When When were you able to rest securely in salvation? It was when you, in reality, saw the bigger picture of Jesus as Savior, as the head of another race, Adam being the head of the first race, Jesus being the second head of a new race who are born spiritually of him. We read about that in Romans chapter 5. But once you have this revelation, once you are able to take by God's grace, God reveals it to you in your inner man, you realize that there's Adam and everyone born of him is born sinner, and there is Christ. Everyone born again is now born righteous. And when you begin to see that, that affects how you live your life. Again, I come back to I think it was Lex and Diane who brought Gillum to our fellowship to share a few evenings on, I think prayer was his main topic. And I'll never forget, it was rather funny as he's discussing with us about the matter of prayer and how we should pray, etc. There was some murmurings in the audience about, well, what about the joy page? Because, you know, we would get these prayer requests from the joy page and, you know, what to do with them. And he, as a speaker, has no idea that the joy page is a publication that we did. He heard two names, Joy Page. And so he was trying to answer, well, what's Joy's problem? Has anyone contacted Miss Page about whatever? And so then it was, oh, no, let me explain. But anyway, back to the point. Gil Gillum, one of the wells that he sunk in my life, or that God used him to sink in my life, he gave this example of gaze and glance. You gaze at something, you glance at something else. And he said what will happen often for believers who have a problem, or for anyone who has a problem in their life, they begin to gaze at that problem. That's all they're focused on. That's all they're looking at. And what happens is, the more you gaze on that problem, the bigger it becomes. The more of a stronghold, the more impossible the situation, the more this is going to be the end of me. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because you keep gazing at the problem. Now, as believers, we also know to look to the Lord. So we're gazing at the problem. We glance at God and we say, Lord, help me. And we go back and gaze at the problem and it just keeps getting bigger. We glance at God and he's not getting any bigger. The problem keeps getting bigger. If we change this around and gaze at God, what happens is what happened this morning. We gazed at him in worship and our hearts are moved and things come back into line. There were issues that were getting rough during the week, but now as we're worshiping the Lord, it's like, I'm not worried about that anymore. That's what happens with your problems when you begin to gaze on the Lord, and I'm just looking at him, and I do have to glance at the problem on occasion. Yeah, I gotta deal with that thing. But I'm gazing on the Lord, and he is bigger, and he is greater, and I've got no worries, because the creator of the universe has promised through Romans 8:28 that all things are going to work together for good for those who love him. Amen. Not for everybody. For those who love him, all things are going to work together for good. So it changes. It's a matter of perspective. Faith is what sees through that. Without faith, you've got a problem and you've got a God. And you, without faith, you don't even have the God. You've got a problem on top of a problem. There are so many aspects to faith. Another one that I still puzzle at, marvel over, we read in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Matthew 9, 20 through 22, a very simple story, you know it well. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will get well. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once, the woman was made well. I don't know how to describe this, but there's something in that woman that was able to draw out healing power from Jesus. The way we read the text, Jesus didn't look for her. He didn't call her out. He didn't say, is there someone here with a 12-year issue of blood? He didn't say any of that. For lack of a much better term, she took it from him. She took the healing power from him. There was something in her that, was it faith? Was it expectation? Was it emptiness? Was it, I don't know what it was, but there was something that bridged the gap. How many sick people touched Jesus that day? I don't know the number, but I'm sure it's more than one. How many people got that healing? She did. There is something in us, from God in us. I'm not sure how this works. It's very difficult to describe, but there is this thing of faith that reaches out and touches him, and we receive from him. This is part of who we are. When we read about faith, you know, faith isn't faith unless it's tested. There are things that we have to go through that prove, yeah, I'm still holding on. Because if it's just a hope or a wish or a good luck charm, that's really not faith. But if that's what you have, it's going to go away very quickly when the circumstances in your face make you go, does God even know me? Does he care? There are times when we ask these questions. There are times when we think he's turned his back on us. There are times when, and it's those times when faith is tested. It's those times when faith reaches through that bleak, dark circumstance and says, I'm holding on. I know he's there. I know he sees me. This is who we are. One of the great stories of men of faith in recent times is, what's the guy's name? George Mueller. I got a quote of the story. I'll read it to you. So, an excerpt from George Mueller, it says, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He thanked God for the food and waited. 300 children and no food. Think about it. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. You're running an orphanage that you know God has called you to do. And there is no food. Nothing. And you have 300 children. Do you tell them, go out and beg, do something? Do you look for some practical way? Do you whip out the credit card? Do you make some phone calls? Do you do some pledges? He said, have them sit down. And he thanked God for the food and waited. George knew God would provide food for the children as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked at the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I couldn't sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I'll bring it in. Soon, there was another knock at the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. I don't know about you, but I like stories like that. But that's a man of faith. It's a man who's had a revelation of who God is. And based on that revelation of who God is, he's not worried about the circumstances. This, again, it's a hallmark of our faith. We'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I've got a whole lot more topics to talk about. But as I wrap this up, again, it's difficult to describe what faith is. It cannot be defined. There are times when it appears in Scripture that faith is a gift from God given to you. There's times when I read that it seems like it's resident in the person. It's something that a person has. So I don't really know how to define that. But lest you think this is a message about the Christian or about you or me, it's really a message about the Lord Jesus, because Hebrews 12:2 Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or author and finisher of our faith. See, it really is all about him. He's the beginning point of the faith. He's the end point of the faith. And what happens is, as he transforms us through this faith thing, it's his life coming out through us. And it is glorifying him. When a vessel so weak, a man just like you and me, George Mueller, you know, just like us, but the revelation of Christ through him said, I got 300 people to feed and Hakuna Matata. Not just no worries. He did say, sit down. He prayed and he waited for the Lord. But this needs to be a hallmark of our faith. The next topic I want to talk about, I'm really excited about, is, and it's huge. It is so huge. We read about it in John 15. It's abiding. Abiding in Christ. And he is the source and he's the fruit and he's every part of this whole thing. And it's fruit as a result of life, not fruit as a result of discipline or works or law. And it really is one of the hallmarks of our faith. It is really all about how we have to live, drawing from him and producing him. So we're going to end here. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful to you. Whether you gave us faith or it was in us, I don't understand, but I know that you are there. I know that you see us. I know that you care about the circumstances in our lives, even to the cellular level. And I know that you're about your kingdom and your glory through us. I thank you that you've opened our eyes to see this. Help us to walk in our revelation of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.